Okay, this is the recording of the sermon.
Let's pray.
Father, with all the hassles of the week, Satan will try to destroy our focus from worshipping you. So we ask for your Holy Spirit to enable us to come boldly into your presence. We ask for you to speak to each person at DCF and throughout the world who comes to you today to worship you. We ask for you to block the enemy so that none of the distractions of the week will damage our worship. We ask this in the name of Jesus, our Saviour and King. Amen. Matthew chapter 27. On the next day, which followed the day of preparation, the chief priests and Pharisees gathered together to Pilate, saying, "Sir, we remember, while he was still alive, how that deceiver said, 'After 3 days I will rise.' Therefore, command that the tomb be made secure until the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away, and say to the people, 'He is risen from the dead.' So the last deception will be worse than the first." Pilate said to them, "Have a guard. Go your way. Make it as secure as you know how." So they went and made the tomb secure, sealing the stone and setting the guard. The next day commenced at sunset. That's when the Jewish day began. And the day of preparation was Friday, the day before the Sabbath. So, in our time, they came after sunset to Pilate on the Friday. Even after they had killed Jesus, they were still scared. These chief priests and Pharisees had heard and understood, but not believed. They called Jesus a deceiver when they themselves were deceived. Humility is essential for salvation. It is taught only by example, never from a book. Jesus washes the disciples' feet, just one of the jobs no one wants to do. They had listened to Jesus, so they wanted the tomb guarded until the Sunday. Listening is not enough. People need to acknowledge their sin and believe that Jesus is the Son of God and commit their life to him. A, B, C. Acknowledge or apologize. B, believe. C, commit. The Jews had their own temple guard and they wanted the Roman guard. Perhaps they suspected that some of their own people were secretly followers of Jesus. By the time Acts 6:7 comes around, we read, "A great many of the priests were obedient to the faith." Amazing, isn't it? Nevertheless, they also guarded the tomb, sealed it as proof that it was closed. And Mark 16:4 tells us that the stone was very great. All their efforts were pitifully small for God, but it made even more believable when the resurrection took place, that it was not faked. Matthew 28. Now after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb, and behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. His countenance was like lightning and his clothing as white as snow, and the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. The Marys and other women woke early Sunday morning to go to the tomb to embalm the body of Jesus. They loved Jesus, but just did not believe that he would rise from the dead. Just a few days before, we saw there was another great earthquake when Jesus yielded up his spirit. The voice and the power and the heart of God are far bigger than anything we can ever imagine. Satan would have been furious at this point. We read in Revelation 13, "And the dragon was enraged with the woman," that's Israel, "and he went to make war with the rest of her offspring," that's the church, "who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ." A are given earthquakes and lightning to understand that there are forces beyond the control of man. To see the angel would have been terrifying and amazing. Not even all the military training could prepare the guards for the terror of God. One day, when we stand absolutely powerless before even an angel, we will stand before the presence of God. And it's a glimpse of Revelation 20, isn't it? 2 Corinthians 5 says, "For we must, we, the church, must, no choice, all, no one gets left out, appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the thing done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men." Paul is absolutely clear. He's writing to believers, we. And he says, must, there's no choice, all, no one gets left out. See, what we do matters. There is a lie that once we are saved, we can continue in sin and complacency. If we do not try to walk and talk with God, we will swallow the lie. Jesus says in Matthew 12, if we are not actively for Jesus, we are against him. So there is no neutral ground, there is no passive state for the Christian. We are actively fighting for Jesus. Matthew 28, but the angels answered and said to the woman, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen." And he said, "Come, see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and indeed he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you." So they went out quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to bring his disciples word. Who came? Mary Magdalene, the other Marys, Salome. The love of these women for Jesus was obvious. The angel knew and could see their love. This is what we want people to see in us. We want people to see that we love Jesus. It is the women who run back with fear and great joy that Jesus is risen. This is their sensing of holiness, fear and great joy. An amazing week they've had. So much can change in a week. Most of the disciples would have been in Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover. So they would need to travel about 150 kilometers to meet Jesus in Galilee. As they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, "Rejoice." So they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brethren to go to Galilee, and there I will see them." Joanna lived in Galilee, where Jesus often ministered. And Jesus has told them they will meet him there. The streets of cities like Jerusalem in those days were filthy, so people's feet were filthy. As these women held his feet, their action was saying that even the lowest part of him was higher than the highest part of them. John tells us of Mary Magdalene's encounter with Jesus at the tomb. John 20, but Mary stood outside the tomb weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white sitting, one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. Then they said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" And she said to them, "Because they've taken away my Lord. I do not know where they have laid him." Now when she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there and did not know it was Jesus. And Jesus said, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" She, supposing him to be a gardener, said to him, "Sir, if you've carried him away, tell me where you've laid him, and I will take him away." And Jesus said to her, "Mary." And she turned and said to him, "Rabboni," which is to say, "Teacher." I think this passage actually shows that Jesus had a sense of humour. He knew why she was weeping. And he was just kind of kidding around. And his love for her and her love for him just came out in just the way he said her name, Mary. And instantly she knew this was her Lord. And Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say to them, I'm ascending to my Father and your Father and to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things to her. It's a wonderful touch by Jesus to teach believers that women matter. Throughout history and today in many countries, women are second-class citizens. Jesus first appears to Mary Magdalene, and her love for him and his love for her just pour out. I think she must have given him a hug, which he stopped. Now while they were going, behold, some of the guards came into the city and reported to the chief priests all the things that had happened. When they had assembled with the elders and consulted together, they gave a large sum of money to the soldiers, saying, "Tell them his disciples came at night and stole him away while we slept. And if this comes to the governor's ears, we will appease him and make you secure." So they took the money and did as they were instructed. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. Truth can only be understood when we see things with God's perspective. The truth is that mankind is born in sin and condemned already. We are given headship over the planet, but we surrendered it to Satan. Because of that, we are destined to spend eternity with the devil, unless we repent and make Jesus the Lord of our lives. The truth is always fundamentally spiritual. The soldiers, the chief priests, the elders, and those who heard their lies missed the truth. They looked at science. How could anyone believe that a man can rise from the dead? How can anyone believe in angels whom they've never seen? So the lies were easy to swallow. What made it harder was that to believe that Jesus is the Son of God required repentance, which required humility. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had appointed to them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen." After several appearances of Christ recorded in the other Gospels, they met with Jesus. It must have been a familiar meeting place for them. Jesus had appeared to hundreds of people. In 1 Corinthians we read, after that he was seen by over 500 brethren at once. Skeptics may well dispute the resurrection, but the fact is, there has always been skeptics throughout history. But in that first century, there were so many witnesses that people believed and Christianity spread. In the homework, I gave you the mathematics of all of that. It is amazing. Some still doubted. If we're grounded in the flesh, we all doubt. Science has become a god that many think is infallible, but it's free to change its mind. So that once we were taught something, and then it changed. Truth cannot change. Battis thought, how could someone who died now be alive, so they believe it did not happen? The word for authority in the scriptures is exousia, ex out of, ousia is the verb to be, so it means out of being. It is out of who you are, you have authority. Jesus has authority because he is who he is. We have authority because we are children of God. The Son of God has authority over heaven and earth. Nothing and no beings are excluded. The song goes, and the waves and the wind know his name. When he speaks, peace be still, the waves stop. Death could not hold him down because he is risen. He won. Why are you given the Olympics? You're given the Olympics because you can see what it's like to win. Why are you given the football? See what it's like to win. In the greatest battle in the history of mankind, Jesus won. He conquered death. Death, the most hideous weapon of Satan, was robbed of its power. How Satan must have rejoiced when Jesus died. But he beat the death. He had to die to beat it. The command is to make disciples of all nations. The word for disciples is mathetes, from which we get the word maths. Maths is a discipline. You follow the rules and you get to the answer. Being a disciple is a disciplined life. Our constant battle with the flesh and the mind requires discipline. Now, we are not saved by works, but we need rules and rigor to serve God effectively. The community needs rules to live safely together. The world we live in is undisciplined because the first rule, the first law, is broken. The first rule is love God. Love God. And the second rule is love your neighbour as yourselves. Command is to go and make disciples. People need to be disciplined. And as we go and make disciples of all nations, there must be no racial or gender bias. Every person on the planet needs to come to God and love him. Jesus is the door to salvation. Baptism is the symbolic action that all our sins are washed away by the blood of Jesus. There are three aspects to our relationship with God. He is our Father, and we are his children. He is a faithful, loving Father. He is the father of the prodigal who runs out to meet the Son. He covers us. And we relish his covering. Jesus is our Saviour and King and friend. It is his blood that has washed us clean of all sin so that we can boldly come before the throne of grace and find mercy. Satan would want to beat us with the sins of our life and our failings and our shortcomings all the time. But he is our Saviour. And he is our King. He is all-powerful. He beat death, the one weapon that no one else could win. He won. And he's our friend. He says, lo, I am with you always. And the Holy Spirit, he is our teacher and our guide. Jesus says in John, he says, my sheep hear my voice. Not my sheep, read my book. Yes, we do have to read his book, but we hear his voice. Because every step of our life, we need to say to God, What do we do? Not what do I do, what do we do? How are we going to beat this thing, Lord? You and me together, what are we going to do? And he's our teacher. The very simple fact, God loves us, has always, over the years, been an increasing depth about it. So you, as a 9-year-old, you understand it, God loves you, but over the years, that depth increases, and you think, wow. And he's our guide. We pray for him to shut doors, open doors, push us in the right direction. Lord, we just want to follow the right way. And we say to him, yeah, I know we're stupid. I know I'm stupid. I need your guidance. And we all have to teach others. The hardest part of teaching is that we have to learn first by experience. So all the teaching of a disciple isn't the teaching from a book. You have to have walked the walk. The very best leaders in a school are those who have taught the classes, because they understand what it's like to sit in the classroom and deal with students. Else do you know and understand that the thing that matters most when walking through the valley of the shadow of death is who you walk with, unless you've actually struggled with it. You can't teach it from a book. You have to have walked it and been gutted and battered and survived. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Well, you know, when David says that, he's walked through the valley of the shadow of death. It's not something he read in a book. You read the life of David, read how he ran from Saul, read how his own men turned against him. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because you're with me. And what does Jesus say? He says, I am with you always. People, we need to walk with God in such a way, every step of our way, being conscious and asking to know his presence in the car, in the shop, at home, on the street, on the run, whatever. Lo, I am with you always. He is our constant companion. We close with that wonderful promise, don't we? Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Friends can let you down, family can let you down, but not Jesus. Lo, I am with you always. It's Easter. Hang on to that promise. Hang on to it in this time when you're put through tough times with Corona. And walk with Jesus. Walk with God. Thank you, Lord, for that promise. Thank you for the eternal life. Thank you for washing away all my sins. Help us now to obey your command and make disciples for you. Lord, in all this corona mess, could it be that we are opening up the world to a time of huge revival? A time when people will turn to you because they will see that nothing that they have trusted before works. All the health, all the finance, all the equipment, all the businesses, all the money, all of those things can fail. And we need to stand on a rock. And the rock is there. Lo, I am with you always. Always. Not sometimes, always. I pray for DCF, Lord. And I pray for the people there, and I pray that they will stand on the rock of Jesus Christ. I pray that they will stand on the rock, on the word of the Lord. That they will open the scriptures and eat it. Over and over and over and over again. And that by your Holy Spirit they will be anointed to learn and understand and to teach others. and to walk in such a way that people tremble. They know the servant of the Lord has come. We want revival in this land. We want huge revival in this land. There are so many things wrong. 300 babies are aborted every day in Australia, and we have done nothing about it. Thank you, Lord, for Scott Morrison. Thank you that he is a servant of yours. Pray for your wisdom on him. In Jesus' name, amen.